to see you.
What did you bring me, Grandma?
I just went on a cruise. And I brought you something very special from the cruise. Every night, the cabin steward would come in, he'd turn down the bed. He'd put chocolate in the room to eat. Ooh. And then he would twist the towels and make an animal out of them. So the ship had little stuffed animals that looked like the towels. And I brought you the cutest one.
What else did you bring me, Grandma?
That's it.
Well, I'm gonna go and find the plane, Grandma. See you later. You're the best present ever, Grandma.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. Let's go outside together and read and play.
As you all know, 10 years ago, on a beautiful, crisp September morning, the sky was blue, wasn't it? Made the horror all that much worse because you could see it so clearly. On that September morning, 10 years ago, two airplanes flew into the World Trade Towers. The first one flew in, I thought it was an accident. You know, just a mistake. He blew the whatever it is, lost control, something, anything. But when the second one hit, you knew. You knew it was an attack. And for a while, the building stood, flamed, blackened, hurt, damaged, many dead. But they stood. And instead of running away, the firemen and the policemen and some civilians came. And they ran up those steps. And they got up as high as they could and they started evacuating the people, getting them to get out of the buildings. And first one, and then the other, collapses upon them. And all of those firemen, all of those people, all those policemen who ran in while everybody else was running out died, gave themselves that others might live. How do you respond to a gift like that? How do you respond to a gift of life? How do you respond to any gift? A birthday present, an anniversary, a Christmas present? Thanks? Joy? Excitement? Peace? You know, a word, a card, whatever it can be. It's not equal to the value of whatever it is you have been given, but that's not the point. You're not after equal value. You're after an opportunity to say thank you for whatever it is you have done for me. But a publisher clearinghouse shows up on your doorstep with a $10 million check. Is thank you enough or is jumping up and down required? And how do you say thank you to somebody who gives you a heart or a liver or a kidney or even just a cornea? You know that you cannot know, you do not know who they are and what they're, where they're from. You know they died. You know, their family had to give permission. How do you say thank you to that person, to that family? A young mother signs the papers and you have the child that you cannot have on your own. How do you say thank you? How do you express it? Is it with celebration, with joy, with emotion? How do you say thank you for the gift of life itself and all that life means to other people? Some gifts are so wondrous, so awe-inspiring, that all you can do is bow your head and accept them. That's the only response you can make because they're so overwhelming. Well, in the scripture this morning from Matthew, in the parable, the master has given money out to his servants to invest for him. And they have put it out into the market. And they have loaned it to people who are in turn hopefully going to grow crops with it or something like that. He did it in order to make money on the deal. But he's come back and he now says, remit in full. Give me my money back. You owe this money. I have given it to you, for you to use. Give it back to me. I want it now. The servant, of course, doesn't have it. It's out there. He has a cash flow problem. It's gone out. It takes some time to turn it around and give it back. But the master wants it now. And so he falls on his knees and he begs for some time. But you notice that the master doesn't give him any time. You notice that? Doesn't give him any time. That he would have been praised for that. Everybody would say, oh, what a generous man he was. He could have gotten away with that. He just said, all right, I'll give you a month. And everything would have gone on and everything would have been happy. And he'd gotten a lot of his money. Maybe not all of it, but he'd gotten a lot of it. But the servant falls on his knees and he begs him, give me some time. But instead of giving him some time, what does the master do? Come on, what does he do? He forgives the debt. Forget it. Forget about it. Don't worry about it. It's not important. It's yours. 10,000 talents. You've all heard this stuff before. How much is a talent worth? A talent's worth of supposedly is a year's work for a man. A man or a woman, I guess. Equal pay for equal work and all that good stuff. It's an adult's yearly salary. 10,000 of them. It's 15 yearly salaries. There we go. So it's 10,000 times 15, or 150,000 years of labor that he is given. Just hand it to him. How would you respond? I mean, it's a number that is astronomical. It's out of this world. How do you respond to that? Well, he turned around and walked outside, spotted one of the guys that he owed his master some money. Now he owes him some money. And he wants it, and he wants it now. And so he grabs him by the throat and shakes him and says, I want my money. The man falls on his knees and says basically the same thing. Please give me some time. And he refuses. He goes away and he gets the cops, and the cops come and arrest him and throw him in debtor's prison until such time as he can pay the debt. I'm not sure how you pay the debt when you're in debtor's prison. How do you respond to the gifts that God has given us? And do you have a debt at all? Do you owe anybody anything? Do you owe God for all the things that he has given to us? Do you owe God for the stuff that he's given you to use? You have to understand right off that he's given it to us to use, not to own, not to destroy, not to do whatever we want to do with it, but to use it and then be able to bring it back to the master again. Do we have anything that we have to be thankful for? Have you counted your blessings, named them one by one, that kind of thing? Several years ago, Iris and I went down to Key West. We were there in the evening, had dinner, and then went down to Mallory Pier or Dock or whatever it's called. I'm sure most of you have been down there. And there's a slack wire artist, and there's a magician, and there's all kinds of acts going on. They're looking for donations, gifts, money given to them. And so on. That's how they make their living. But as fun as they are and as enjoyable as they are to watch all these people do all their different things, when the sun goes down, most nights, everything stops. Because the beauty and the wonder of that sun going down is so incredible that people actually applaud. They applaud the sun going down. Do we owe anything to God for our children? I don't know about you, but when I was there for the birth of my children, I had a little prayer to thank God for their lives. To thank God for each and every one of them, both of them. For all that God had done and how He had brought them into my life and made me their father and kept Iris safe. Do we owe God a debt for our children? Do we have any good news to share with the world around us? Do we need to respond to friends? You know, a friend is somebody, they say, that somebody you can call at 3 a.m. and he'll talk to you. If you have a friend that if you're in a bind or you've got some joyous news and you have to celebrate, you have to tell somebody, can you call them up at 3 a.m? And they'll talk to you. Do you have something that you can celebrate? Paul tells us that being able to say Jesus Christ is the Lord is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We also have abundance. There was a cartoon in the New Yorker a while back. Had a family gathered around the Thanksgiving table. Big turkey in the middle and all that business. So you knew it was Thanksgiving. And it was in an opulent dining room with fancy chairs all around, and the table, a big, long table, was covered. I mean, there was, you could hardly see the tablecloth for all the food on the table. And the man at one end of the table says, in the caption, "Shall we say grace? Is there any question that we should say grace?" And then there's the gift we don't even know about. There was a young man who was graduated from medical school and went to all his internships and was ready to start his own office. And he went to his mom and his dad and asked them if they could help him out with a little money so he could set up his practice. And they said that they'd work on it, and a couple days later they came back to him and said yes, they'd give him the money. Many years later, when his father died, he was looking through the records and he discovered that what his father and mother had done had been to mortgage the house, their paid-off house. They mortgaged it in order to provide that money for his office. There are all kinds of gifts that we don't even know about. As Americans, we enjoy wealth that would make Solomon blush. We enjoy food without worrying about where it's coming from. We have more peace than war, at least we hope that we do. And we have gadgets and things all over the place, so many that we take them for granted. Do we have anything to be thankful for? And now the Master says, remit in full. I want what you owe me. I want life, salvation, and joy, and friends. I want you to pay me the value of the sun and the moon and the stars. I want you to pay me for light. I want you to pay me for grace and love and for Jesus Christ who died for you. How do we do it? How do we begin to do it? And all we can do is fall on our knees and beg for time, beg for help. But when we do, God says, forget about it. Don't worry about it. The debt is forgiven. No matter how hard we try to pay the bill off, no matter how much scrambling we do, there's a story about a man who was having dinner with the kids, and the phone rang, and the caller ID said Bruno. And the man realized and knew who Bruno was and knew what Bruno wanted. Bruno wanted his money. And he knew he didn't have enough money on him. He had some, but he didn't have enough money on him. And so he started scrambling. He started running around looking all over the place. He looked in the couch, in the cushions under the cushions, where the quarters hide, where they fall out of your pockets. I always need a little money. I can upend the the Barca lounger, the recliner, and look under there. There's always a quarter or two or three or four. And he looked on the shelf where his wife could wash the clothes, and the quarters would fall out of the pants pockets and be in the bottom of it. She would take them and put them up on the shelf. He got those. He even got all the penny loafers. And he managed to scrape up enough money to make it. And a couple minutes later, the doorbell rings, and he opens it up, and there's Bruno, his 12-year-old paperboy. No matter how hard we scramble, no matter how hard we try, they're going to come to the reality that we cannot pay it. And God says, forget about it. Don't worry. The debt is canceled. So how do we respond? In the parable, he responded by grabbing his debtor and choking him and throwing him in prison. Is that how we respond? To grab all that we can get? To abuse what God has given to us? Can we believe that we can be given the gift of life and then abuse it with drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and reckless living and not have to pay for it in the long run? Do we believe that we're given the gift of love and assume that we can take it for granted without driving it away? Do we believe that we can get God's salvation and that we can presume on His love without at the same time rejecting His love? Are we given the gift of things, so many things, that they become our gods? And we end up forgetting who God really is? Can we turn our backs on everything God wants to give to us? Or do we respond with joy and commitment, proclaiming the wonder of God's gift, forgiving as we have been forgiven, loving as we have loved, giving grace as we have received God's grace, and witnessing to God of His grace and His love and His joy, that wonder and sense of awe about somebody who can give so much and then incredibly does. There was a little boy who wanted to give his teacher a present. He was living on a South Pacific island. And he knew of a beach on the other side of the island where there was a special shell. And so he went and got it. And he brought it back to his teacher, and she looked at it, and she was impressed with it, and she was pleased with it. But then she realized where it came from and how far he had to walk. And she was dismayed that he would walk that far. And the little boy said the walk was part of the gift. The sacrifice, the gift of time and effort, the gift of himself, the pain, the hurt that God has given to you through His Son, Jesus Christ, is part of the gift. The gift God has given to you, how do you respond? Amen.